Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a thirsty Thursday. It is Thursday, August the 19th. Get those old notes out of here. Thursday, August 19th, 2021. Your host, of course, Sturch Gooch across from me. And, of course, AJ from the couch, who is said he came in here a little tired, but hopefully he can get that energy up. My energy is up. It's because I went to the gym, so that always helps. Yeah, so that's that. But with a lot, what? I feel like you're going to talk to me about.
I'm teetering on high energy, low energy. I'm trying to bring myself out of it today. I listened to music all morning.
Okay.
Caught a vibe.
A vibe. It's a vibe. Okay.
But another one of those situations where I probably ate the edible too late last night.
Okay. Well, maybe we eat it just a little earlier today at some point.
I might start bringing it and then eating it as I'm about to leave.
Yeah, because then that kind of sets you up for the evening, and then you can do your best work when you're like zeroed in and focused. And you know, we did launch some new merch yesterday. The New York Jets have been featured on the Chop Sports Shop, courtesy of AJ Bascone. He actually designed that shirt himself. So kudos to you for just continuing to bring your value as you're underpaid, underpaid.
The Bills shirt is ready too.
The Bills shirt is ready. We'll get that going today.
It's actually in. It's up.
It's up. Okay, it's up. So we'll have to preview that. We'll promo that. I can do that now. Then now that I know what I'm doing, I'll take something off your plate, AJ. You can continue to grind and make our Instagram good and all that good shit. So we appreciate you. There's a lot going on today. First and foremost, I do want to shout out the podcasts that are live today on the network. Dropping today on a Thursday, I'm Your Football Team with Keith Ernst and those boys over there. That's Arthur OG and, Mike Fury. Sorry. Wow. Drew a blank. That was bad. So those guys are back and they have another episode where I believe they talk about the Green Bay Packers this week. So maybe, just maybe, Gooch will tune in and,
I listen to them anyway.
Yeah, I do too. They're a funny group. I was listening to the Jimmy Palumbo show on the way down here. His shows are getting better and better, funnier and funnier every week. And I'm not just trying to blow smoke up Jimmy, but you know, it's a good show. It's a very good show and it's caught the attention of possibly, potentially somebody even bigger. So we'll get into that as it gets closer. Also, yesterday there was sort of a funeral of sorts here. Ibby came into the studio wearing all black, black Mets hat, black, just plain black shirt. The Mets were dead in the water, and then they won a game. They won a game yesterday in 12 innings. There is life in Flushings. And I guess maybe it was Steve Cohen's angry tweet that got them all fired up. Or they said, we better deliver or we're getting cut.
They won it in extras. So it wasn't like they came out and blew the door off.
Well, no, but they were a
play or two made by the other team away from losing again. So I don't think it had anything to do with the tweet. Now, right. Like, a win
I'm just
is a
trying
win.
To give him
a
some
win
credit.
Is a win, but I don't, let's not give too much credit to the tweet.
No, 100%. What do you got?
When I first saw the score, I was like, oh, finally some run production. And then when I was uploading the scores for the update, I was like, they scored six in extras? So they were 2-2 for fucking 9 innings? Are you kidding me?
A lot of bullpen help, obviously, for that game. But yeah, so in any event, the Mets get a win. That's good. We'll talk about the Yankees in a second. But the first thing I got to bring up, and this is something, I went to the gym today. I love the sauna in the gym. Gets me going. Just exercise all the demons. And I started to watch Netflix. My friend Jess hit me up. She's like, have you watched Malice at the Palace yet? I said, no. I forgot all about that. It launched on Netflix. Now, if you're an old school NBA fan, and not so much old school, this shit happened in what, 2004? So like, it's not that old. It's 17 years ago, which is kind of ridiculous, but 2000, when you date back to 2000, it's kind of crazy that that's 21 years ago. So yeah, that kind of makes me feel old, makes everybody feel old, to be honest.
Was it that, what year was it?
2004, I think, because I think 2000, the Pacers lost in the finals, and then it might have been 2001. I could be wrong.
I don't think it was 2001. I think it might have been 2003. AJ, are you on that right now?
Yeah, he's going to do that.
Because I know where I was watching that game. I was watching that game.
I was too. I was like, this is the craziest thing.
I was bartending at Chili's in Edison.
Oh, wow. Okay. They got a Chili's in Edison. Is that Route 1?
No, that's Oak Tree Road.
I almost went there. 2004. Sturch is right. Well, imagine that. That doesn't happen often, but
so how old was I?
2004. I was just starting college at Edison University, otherwise known as Middlesex County College. So that's where I went and got my studies on. But yeah, Malice at the Palace, dude.
I've been there a few times. I had a few stops at Middlesex
to learn.
Yeah, well, I learned. I never actually went there to get any type of associates. I would literally go there to learn. I would be like, all right, I need to take a public speaking class. So I would go there.
That's kind of cool, though.
Act like I was going to do all this shit.
I took public speaking.
And I would literally just go there to learn a couple things. But then once they started making me take math and Spanish, I was like, eh.
Nah. I took Italian in
college. I could sit through a history course and maybe some type of science. But anytime I'm having to learn something brand new that I'm not going to need as an adult, I'm just not
signing up for it. I had an absolute crazy town English professor. It's actually where I met my friend Lauren, who you know because she buys every shirt known to man and she supports the network. I met her there. We had this professor, right? He had to be 102 years old. So I'm going to say God rest his soul unless he's 123 years old. But I have to say, this guy, he would bring in a bottle of water. I got a bottle of water somewhere around here. But he would bring in a bottle of water, right? And I think it was a Poland Spring. And he would always tell us every day. So, you know, he was losing it a little bit. Every day he would tell us that I'm drinking Poland Spring because it's the only purified water that doesn't have. And he would list off like 18 ingredients of poison that every other thing had. He goes, that's why I've lived this long, because I've only drank Poland. I'm like, you're a loony tune.
I guarantee you he was wrong.
I've seen those
YouTube videos where they have lined up all the waters and they do the pH test. I think it's pH.
Yes. pH.
And Poland Spring is just as shitty as every other water.
So, hopefully Poland Spring's not watching and we don't get them as an endorser.
Honestly, the water that we pay for, if you don't turn off, if you unplug that machine, and it comes out not cold, it tastes like fucking asshole.
Oh, even better. Okay. That's good. Just so you know. I would ask, but the question's already answered, so it doesn't even matter.
Whoops.
So anyway, yeah, man, that Malice at the Palace documentary, I'm only 25 minutes in, so I have to actually watch more of it and finish it probably tonight or something. But, dude, I can't believe, like, first of all, Jermaine O'Neal, I forgot how good he was. Like, he was really good. Like, yeah, fresh out of high school.
I watched Malice at the Palace over Hard Knocks the other day. I chose violence instead of...
you chose right, to be honest. This week, you
Mike
chose
McCarthy's.
Right. Yeah, no, you chose right this week. We said it yesterday. My, Hard Knocks this week was not exhilarating. And I think homeboy over on FS1, Colin Cowherd, said this is the best thing to happen to the Cowboys to be a boring team right now. He's like, you're not in the headlines. You're boring. Your episodes of Hard Knocks are boring. This is good for you guys. First of all, you don't know anything about anything. Second of all, your show sucks. But anyway, second, going back to the Mouths of the Palace, that day when we saw what happened, and I think it was that they said, according to Reggie Miller, that seed was planted the year before in the final or the Eastern Conference Finals when they were like kind of battling it out. Bro, some of the clips that they showed from that game, like they were hitting people.
Yeah.
Hitting. I'm talking football contact hitting. And there was one where Artest got the forearm up and got called for the flagrant. And I'm just like, that basically cost him the entire series.
He got hit in the nuts. And then I don't know that. Look, I remember when that happened and Artest was wrong. But at the same time, they were playing chippy the entire time. He really just kind of,
he didn't lean in and actually give him the forearm shiver.
He definitely let him know he was there, but I don't know if that was an ejectable offense. I think it was just the history that Hartest had and knowing the type of player he was.
He was like the modern day Dennis Rodman, if you think about it. Like just the shit stirrer, and he would go in there, he would throw bows.
I fucking loved Ron Artest.
Oh, dude. Every team needs a Ron Artest. In today's game, it's not even close to being possible, considering the fact that when you breathe on somebody wrong, it's a foul.
I don't know. They let him get a little chippy. This NBA postseason was good. The style of play is much different. You don't have to protect the rim as much, but you know, they got some chippy fights going on in this postseason.
Right. The fact that you said protect the rim, like back then, you were afraid to go to the rim because you knew what was coming. And Artest was a great perimeter defender, but like when you went in there with Jermaine O'Neal, he made sure that you never did it again. You know what I mean? Like he was an enforcer. But anyway,
unless you're Big Ben Wallace,
Ben Wallace was an absolute monster. I keep forgetting how big he was
from further than 1 foot away from the basket. He had to get down low.
that was absolutely crazy. And then obviously the act of everything. I haven't gotten to that part yet. Obviously, we know what happens. Spoiler alert, it was a Malice at the Palace. But it's just crazy how that's There will never be, I mean, when the NBA started back up this year, remember how all the craziness was happening with all the fans and doing stuff, and whether they were shouting things onto the court or actually literally throwing things at people, dumping water out? Like, that's about as close as you're going to get, because these players are, I believe, a little bit more educated when it comes to what it could cost them. Because after that, Ron Artest, not only that, had to, like, change his name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he had to change his complete perception. A lot of those guys that were involved in that, including Steven Jackson, I believe, right? He was involved in that. Like, I mean, he's still talking shit, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, these guys were changed forever, and I can't wait to finish it. I want to get on that. To finish that one up. But speaking of bad boys of some certain teams, Draymond Green falls in that category a little bit. Not as bad as those guys.
I think he's more bark than he is bite.
Well, he's barked again.
When it comes to the actions on the court, I don't think Draymond Green is really about that life as far as the things that Artest was bringing to the table. Right. Maybe he's the modern version of it, like you saying, it's a little softened up. But at the same time, I think Draymond has been a great player. But I think he's a little overrated based on where he's played. It's not like he's going to be able to carry a team. He's a nice piece, and he got to ride the coattails of Clay and Steph and KD.
And KD, right.
Multiple championships. But he's been their voice since day one.
So the quote, I'm going to paraphrase it, that both Kevin Durant and Draymond Green have went on record and said, like, the reason why that entire team was imploded was because of Steve Kerr. Now, I thought in my mind, like, KD, you could say whatever you want. You're a Brooklyn Net and you'll never go back, right? Bro, Draymond Green is still on the team. So do you think it's smart for him to even publicly say anything like this? Because he can get shipped out of town tomorrow.
I don't think they're going to ship him out of town.
Who would they ship out first, Kerr or him?
Him.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. You got to watch yourself. You have to.
I don't know that he has to watch himself, because they're not in a position to really get rid of Draymond Green. He understands the dynamic of what's going on there. I'm sure he knows what he can and can't say. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he kind of needs to be in the news. He needs to have some type of controversy surrounding him for him to thrive. And basketball season ended.
Mm-hmm.
I guess him and KD are now, I guess, friends again, because I'm pretty sure that after it all
I mean, I don't down, think they collabed on it. I think that somebody asked the same question to two different people.
No, they were doing an interview together.
Oh, they were?
Yeah,
okay.
It was like a collaborative interview. They did some weird Bleacher Report thing. It was yesterday, right?
Yeah,
like,
it just dropped today.
As we sat down to record, I got the update. Ask KD. And I was like, I'm good. I don't really want to ask KD anything. Honestly, if I ask KD what I want to ask him, he won't like me. There'll be a fucking, I'll get blocked on Twitter because he's soft.
I'm sure. And then he'll attack you from his burner. So, you know, it's a catch-22 when it comes to talking bad about Kevin Durant, because he's soft and he doesn't know how to handle that. But I will say he was in the right when it comes to, like, Michael Rappaport crap. Like, he talked his crap, but then Michael Rappaport starts screenshotting and putting it out there and, like, look at KD, look what he's talking. I'm be not, like, shut your mouth, Rappaport.
I don't like KD particularly, but
I don't
that
either.
Doesn't mean I won't acknowledge that he's right in a situation.
True.
I just think that he's a little too thin-skinned for an NBA player.
Or a
professional athlete in general. You gotta kind of take what the fans dish out.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his bed as far as the way he's gone about leaving town. And what he said in the interview was he would leave OKC for Golden State a million times over. He said that shit was a no-brainer. I think that was his quote exactly. Now, honestly, based on the fact that they had success, they won a title, of course it was a no-brainer. He got his title. Now, how people recognize that title is another story. Nobody wants to really give KD the credit because he joined forces with a team that took him out the year before, that
correct,
they had up. I think that was a 3-1 lead, right, AJ? Right? Are you looking at me like I'm... Are you on your
edible, okay,
too?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Yeah. He's just staring at the space.
KD's a bitch. I guess I'll just end it at that, because I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I think Draymond's a little bit of a bitch, too.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, I mean, look, all these NBA players typically have just... They're burp, 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 and then you know, whatever. Let your actions show.
I wouldn't say all of them.
No, not all of them. I mean, there's some players out there that are good and that they, you know, they could talk and back up their game and not complain or anything like that. Like, I don't know, like a Julius Randle. He's a modern day amazing.
Biggest overachiever in the league.
Oh,
I think
come
he comes
on.
Back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah,
year.
I mean, yeah, you're probably right. But anyway, now before we talked about all this, I was talking about some baseball stuff. The Yankees finished it off last night, finished off the sweep, officially the number one wild card now. So now you're in position one by a half game. That might have changed by the end of the night. I'm not sure. I think Oakland might have finished their game and then it went back to normal. But for that moment in time, you know, the Yankees were the first wild card. And I can't remember the last time that was a thing. Tampa Bay continues to win. You know, AJ will hit on that on the update, but So we haven't really made up any ground there, but the Red Sox just seem to not be, they're out of sorts. And Heaney, of all people, that we're, I literally said yesterday, right before we closed the show, I said, Heaney's on the mound, so we'll probably be behind the Red Sox again. This guy goes out there and shuts everybody up. Is he a good pitcher? Remains to be seen, but like he had himself a good night. I think
he's an average, above average pitcher. If you look at the advanced stats and the metrics of everything, you know, he is bringing decent stuff to the table.
Right.
He's not coming out there and throwing 85 miles an hour. He has stuff. It's just Major League Baseball players hit him sometimes. Yeah. That's just what it comes down to.
Listen, he finishes his work, but then they turn it over to the returning Aroldis Chapman. Now, I don't know what to make of him. I don't know if it's rust. I don't know. You know, he's been off for a little while because of the IL.
His first appearance.
Yeah,
back.
But boy, he was throwing balls that were like sailing over Sanchez's head. You know what I mean? Like a couple of them.
I'm not going to read too much into it. I actually give Boone credit for taking him out. Chapman did look pissed.
That does say something.
I'm
going to
give credit where it's due. I think that it was if you could get out there and get some work in, 1, 2, 3, boom, you'll get your appearance. But just know that if it gets away from you a little bit, this is a big game and we got to take you out.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's funny? Lucas Litke, who came in for the save, that was his first save since 2012. So the guy has not been put in that situation pretty much ever, and if he was, he's blown them all because that was literally his first save. But look, Yankees get it done. This is a perfect, you know, opportunity for them to just continue the hot wave. Now they've won 8 of 10, so that's 800 baseball, you know what I mean? So things are looking in the right direction, and like I said, I'm glad the Mets won so they can get off the schneid a little bit, losing 5 straight. Even I was telling Ibby yesterday, I was like, what are they, 2-5? They were 2-5 since the last time they recorded. So they were really reeling. They haven't won a game since they recorded, basically. So the Mets are still a relevant team. I foresee that being a dog race the entire time. I don't think they're going to go away quietly, but I do say that Till Mets Do Us Part dropped their episode today. They had informed me that it was, they could shut down Jake for the rest of the year. Now, that hasn't been done yet, but it's been rumored. If that's the case, doesn't that kind of wave the white flag saying we're kind of toast for the year? Like, are you really going to put stock into the fact that the Mets can do anything without this guy?
Well, it doesn't really... No, the Mets can't do anything without him.
They
can't do anything at this point, I don't think, with him.
Right.
Because it's more so their lineup. Their pitching isn't great right now, but their lineup isn't hitting at all. So DeGrom's not going to come back and bat 2 or 3 times every 5 days and bring the team back to being able to hit baseballs. I don't think that it really is the Mets waving their white flag. It's more so DeGrom being more injured than they initially let on, which I kind of knew from the rip.
There was like, there wasn't enough reporting on it for us to not think, you know what I mean? Like, if you tell you, like, hey, he's got an elbow strain or hell, you know, this and is
I,
that.
I think that we didn't know enough. They know how volatile their fan base could be, so they didn't want to make it like, all right, DeGrom is done a month ago,
right?
If they even knew that, I don't know. Maybe there's some type of rehab that they're just seeing how he progresses. He's not
right.
I what is it? What's his? It's his elbow.
It's undisclosed, right?
So, from what I heard, he's done for 2 seasons. He's done for this year.
Tommy John next year.
It could be. I'm pretty sure.
I don't wish that on anybody. Obviously,
the last time that he went on the IL, it was tightness in his forearm. If they're not going to disclose what it is, it leads me to believe that it's worse than. Then people will you really can't expect it to be anything, but when they're not disclosing it, I think it could be on the wrong side of bad.
Correct. I mean, you can chime in now. There's a couple people watching this live stream chiming in on the what?
Wrong side of bad. Wrong side of good and bad.
It's bad. So that's that. Mets taking the division without DeGrom, zero doubt, from Facebook user. Meaning, I don't know who you are. This is why I keep telling you guys to just let the damn thing get your access to your account. But anyway, it's okay. It's fine. But listen, maybe there are people out there that think that the Mets can rally together based off of Steve Cohen lighting a fire under everybody's ass. We'll see. I don't know. It's a very we'll see league this year. But we are in literally the end of August. You know, like we're on the 19th. There's only a couple more days in August. Then you're in September. You only got a month left to either A, make a run, or B, just... We're toast. It's done. We'll see you next year. And until Mets Do Us Part, they do discuss which of these players on the current Mets team will be back next year, or do you blow it up, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't
what is Baez's contract? Is that a rental?
He's done after this year.
So that's a rental, right? I mean, so that's a big deal. I don't think they re-signed him.
No, they shouldn't.
Because they're already spending all the damn money in the world on Lindor.
And it's not like they actually need him based on the fact that Lindor will be back. They do have parts at that at those positions. Baez isn't going to go over and play third base, even though they don't they have McNeil?
Yeah.
We have J.D. Davis who plays third. McNeil plays second and third.
Second and third.
It's the sauce who came in and said that they were going to win the division. I didn't want to jump over to the chat, but I had to figure it out. So the sauce who, listen, if you want your gambling advice right now, go check out the sauce because he's typically spot on. Or does he have a bet saying that the Mets are going to win the division?
Kind of like how he came at us about the Colts.
The Colts, right. So does he have a bet that the Mets win that division and he's just kind of willing it into existence at this point? That could be a thing.
I think that extra game that the Colts got is what's his saving grace that he thinks that they're going to win 10 games guaranteed because they have a 17th game. There's no guarantees. And if there's ever a guarantee with the Colts, it's that Wentz is going to be hurt.
There's only a few guarantees
in life.
And
he already is, and he'll probably be hurt again. So if he plays week one, Kyle, so my boy, Carson Wentz is a bitch.
Few guarantees in life. Death, taxes, and Carson Wentz being injured. There's some of your guarantees. Staying in the MLB, I'm just saying the Phillies can't win road games. Atlanta offense isn't sustainable. He's got a point.
Yes,
it's not but wrong.
The point is the Mets can't win any games right now.
Yep.
Well, they won yesterday.
There
they are. So you never know. So anyway, staying in baseball, did you see what happened to Lance Lynn by any chance? Or did you hear about it? Okay.
I heard about you guys talking
about
it.
We were talking about it because I was reading it online. And
shake off my edible.
Lance Lynn. So obviously he's a very outspoken pitcher. And I love him personally. I loved him as a Yankee. Love him even more now because he gets to reveal some of that more of that character that he has. And when I say character, he grew a beard. So that's when I say he's got character. But Lance Lynn gets ejected from the game yesterday in a routine. Now I call it routine substance check. What does he do? He ran down, so off the mound, he comes off the mound, and he takes his hat off and takes his glove and leaves it at the top of the dugout for the umpire to check, right? Because he said, according to Lance Lynn, he wanted to go attend to the trainer because he's having something going on. So he wanted to go right to the trainer and said, here, check this. I'm going to go see the trainer real quick. He doesn't leave his belt, right? And that's part of the check. So I guess somebody was like, yo, Lance, you got to get your belt. The belt, you got to drop your belt off. So what does he do? He, instead of running back out the dugout, he takes his belt off and throws it to whoever.
Good for him.
The belt lands on the warning track right in front of the dugout. An umpire takes it offensive, and he says, you're out of here.
At that point, I agree. He's got to go.
You think?
Yeah, he's got to go.
What if he was like tossing it to his buddy, and it just sailed over his head?
No. He's trying to show up the ump. The ump's throwing him out of the game 100%. I'm not saying that Lance Lynn is wrong. I love that shit. The pitchers don't like it. He did it out of spite. My guess is that you got to go get something checked. If you're hurt, you got 30
seconds.
He's got
to go wipe off the Vaseline.
Yeah, you had to go clean the Vaseline off his belt or stick it. It's definitely not Vaseline.
Well, I always say that because Vaseline ball, that's from Major League 2.
But you can't do that. There's a protocol in place. You got to get checked. Everyone else is getting checked. If you have an issue with it, and I'm pretty sure a White Sox pitcher did get suspended already.
Oh, so it's going around.
Getting caught. I don't know if he was a reliever, but I'm pretty sure a White Sox pitcher is the first guy that got suspended.
And Drunky McDrunkerson La Russa comes stumbling off the bench and says, wait a minute, hold on there, sir. Bro, it is such an eyesore to see him in baseball. Like, I love La Russa for what he's done.
I've honestly never liked Tony La
Russa. But I'm saying, for the accolades, you got to give it to La Russa. He's one of the greatest managers maybe ever. And he's just a mess now.
He's the same guy that turned a blind eye while McGuire and Canseco in Oakland just lit the league up with steroids day one. And then he's also the guy that turned a blind eye while McGuire was juicing in St. Louis and broke all the records. So,
and then he also turned a blind eye to his driving because then he get pulled over for DUI.
The only things I'm seeing with White Sox and a pitcher being suspended was in a game against the White Sox, a Mariners pitcher, Hector Santiago.
That's what it was. But the White Sox were involved. Right, so you're not too far off. Yeah, you're not too far off. But anyway, so Lance, that's just a complete joke at this point. I figured the way I saw the video, and they don't have actual good footage of this. All they have is the commercial footage, which is all the way back from the skybox, right? And they're just looking down. And then you just see this belt go flying into the. And I'm like, oh, maybe somebody just didn't catch it. Or maybe he was being an angry Lance Lynn. He's like, here, take the freaking thing. You know what I mean? And then goodbye. So I mean, it's funny because I haven't seen much of this checking stuff. They really have
because
hit it,
was,
it now.
Well,
or they the don't same thing. Advertise
it. It was all the theatrics that were going on that correct. Week. They were showing it. The same thing about the players kneeling for the national anthem way back. I don't know if any player ever did or didn't because guess what? On a regular Sunday football game, they weren't showing it.
Right.
Until it became a thing and then they,
and then they were showing it. Right. So, yeah, the sticky stuff was a thing for about 2 weeks and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's funny. Maybe they're not doing it anymore. Well, they're doing it, but they're doing it off to the side when the commercial, when the red light's not on the camera, stuff like that, you know, and that's the way it should have been done. Not so Mad Max almost stripped on the mound, you know, because then you had to see it. It was must-see television. It was all garbage, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Otani, staying in baseball real quick. He launches his 40th home run. Prediction time. I'll throw it to both of you guys, and I'll give my prediction too. He's got 40 home runs here on August the 19th. The season typically ends September 30th. I don't know the actual last day. So you got about a month and a week. How many home runs does Showtime Otani wind up with? He's got 40 right now. I'll throw it to AJ first. Let's give AJ, or now he's actually thinking. So if you have an answer, you can just jump.
I'll just say not 50. He's not hitting 10 more.
So he's not hitting 10 more in the last month. And so I'll call it 5 weeks.
So he's going to get, for him to hit 50, he's got to average 2 a week. Just no.
I'm saying 47.
47 home runs.
He will hit some more, but we'll see if he starts to press. The team isn't playing for much. I don't know.
I say he hits it right on the nose. He hits a 50 home run season and locks in the MVP.
He's going to have a big, big, big week at one of these weeks where he hits three or four.
And sometimes he does. You know what I mean?
It's been a while.
It has.
Otani slowed down a lot.
It has, but it, you know, he's still crushing the ball. When he does hit home runs, they're all no doubters. You know what I mean? So when he gets a hold of one, it's gone. It's gone. So I think he hits 50 on the button. So we'll see. We'll see. But Pacquiao fight, do you have any interest in the Pacquiao fight coming up on Saturday?
No, I would have been interested in the Errol Spence fight, but that got washed for this reason or that. I'm not sure, but not really too interested in the Pacquiao fight.
I just
I'm
have
also
a heart.
Not interested in WrestleMania, SummerSlam.
No, SummerSlam, which is weird
that.
To me.
Don't care about that either,
I know you don't care about that, but as a wrestling fan and somebody who's been in, around the business for quite some time, it's weird how boxing and wrestling are going head-to-head against each other, not only on pay-per-view, but in Las Vegas. Stay off the roads in Las Vegas on Saturday night. You got MGM Pacquiao fight, and then you got at Reliant Stadium, the Raiders, who coincidentally we'll be talking about the Las Vegas Raiders today, the Death Star. You got the WWE SummerSlam. So my goodness, is that traffic going to be out of control? But my goodness, is that town going to flourish in the bank, and they're going to rob so many people. And I'm not talking about just gambling like at the poker table. Imagine how many bets are being, you know, lost on a Pacquiao fight. You can't bet on wrestling because, well, I don't know if anybody knows this. This is going to break every fourth wall, but it's scripted.
So it's not,
I'm
you can't
so
bet
sorry.
On it? You actually can't bet the winner of a SummerSlam or a Royal Rumble?
I think you can.
That's got to be, there's no way.
Dude, I'll bet you can.
Because there's writers.
I'll
there's
bet
people
you,
that
you could bet.
On books, maybe not like a DraftKings or stuff like that, but
there's no way.
That I've never been on, totally never been on. They've had WWE bets before.
There's no way.
I swear to God.
But there's people out there that write the results. They can go out to Vegas and say,
I agree.
You know what?
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
Roman Reigns is going to beat Cena. I'm putting $8,000 on it.
I mean, Kyle, could you bet on wrestling, bro? You're here.
Yeah. Right? Kyle is
you
probably.
You can bet on WWE 100% Scoop Espo.
That is right. Ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Bro, there are people out there that write the results. Like, you're telling me. I know there's probably a thing in their, you know, but what's to say, like, hey, I work for WWE and AJ does not. So AJ, bro, Roman Reigns spears John Cena through a table. Roman Reigns is going to win.
I'm pretty sure.
So then let's
pretty sure that these guys are vetted. And if you get caught doing that, you go to jail. So there is that.
Sometimes the juice is worth the squeeze. Because, I mean, come on, bro.
Bro, wasn't the guy on the Malice in the Palace, isn't he the ref that got busted for admitting to gambling?
Oh, my God, was he?
Yeah.
Wasn't oh, it my
Tim
God.
Donahue, unless he has
fantastic.
A fucking brother.
That I don't
looks
remember.
Exactly like him.
It's,
but you remember the NBA ref back in the day
yeah,
that got
yeah, gambled on the games, yeah.
Gambling and fudging shit?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the ref. For Malice in the Palace. That makes me feel
and now
old.
He's a WWE
because,
writer.
Because that I honestly thought that took place when I was a kid. When the, like, that happened after the Malice in the Palace?
What?
The
yeah.
The betting thing?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's nuts, right?
Did they interview him? Of all people?
Right,
what a course. Legend anyway.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I you know, not saying that WWE is the topic of conversation, but...
So what's more dead to you? WWE or boxing?
Boxing.
See, I don't think boxing is dead.
Because WWE, and I'm not saying WWE, I'm talking about professional wrestling. Professional wrestling might be on a little bit of a new surge lately. And guess what? As of yesterday, I did talk to a couple people, one being John Saponaro. Not that he's hosting a third show, but he might have some people, and I might be interested in entertaining a professional wrestling podcast on our network. Maybe. It's up there.
Do they have downloads already?
Yes.
Okay, so then we could talk about it.
But maybe not, but they have followers.
It doesn't matter. You could always blame me. You could be like, "Nah, Chris won't get behind
you." I mean, I am. I own 45% and 45% over here, so I can't. You know, I can't make decisions like that. So one day I'll give Chris a nice chunk of change so I can get the 46-44, and then like I'll start making some decisions.
Never gonna happen.
I will own you before you know it. But I'm disappointed in boxing for not being what it once was. And I'm not talking about like Tyson and Holyfield and all those guys, but like boxing to me is dying. And it's only because, you know what it is? I'll say this. I'll take that back. Boxing is dying to the casual fan. I'm a casual boxing fan. My brother and his crew of people, you know, Bobby, Sandy Panos, all those guys, his friends, they get together and watch every single boxing fight.
So boxing's not dead.
To certain hardcore fans. And that's there. But they know everything about everything. They knew about Triple G before Triple G was a thing. You know what I mean? Like, they knew about his come up. You talk about, you've mentioned, I think, on one of Alan Austin's earliest lists.
Yeah, the Teofimo Lopez.
He's still undefeated or something like that? Or, yeah. He's so
23
like,
years old.
Right. I don't know nothing about this guy.
Definitely not. Boxing is not dead. There's a lot of good boxers.
I'm not saying it's Jermell dead. Charlo, I'm just saying
they got Teofimo Lopez. Even Lomachenko, who's not even in the top 10 pound for pound on the list that I'm looking at.
I don't count the Jake Paul shit as part of boxing.
No, but that even, is theatrics. Even heavyweight boxing right now, you have a border. I mean, he's legitimate. You have a legitimate heavyweight American in Wilder, and then you have Joshua and Fury. That's three bona fide heavyweight.
And I've always been a bigger fan of the heavyweights.
Division. I would say if anything, boxing is on an uptick because of those guys, and Pacquiao's still out there doing it. I know Pacquiao's best days are behind him. Errol Spence, Bud Crawford. There's a lot of guys in boxing.
Okay.
A lot. And the big money is in boxing. How about this? Canelo.
I love Canelo. Right. But again, Canelo has beaten pretty much everybody. You know what I mean? Do you remember Ricky Hatton?
Of course I remember. Yeah.
Ricky Hatton. Like, I don't know why.
There's only one Ricky Hatton. Right? How could you forget?
Dude, oh my God. It just popped in my head. It was a fighter I used to watch. You know, like, that's when I felt like people were engaged. And I'm not saying that you're going to be, the MGM ain't going to be filled to the roof, because Pacquiao is a draw. Pacquiao is absolutely a draw, and that fight will draw numbers.
I'm not particularly excited about the Pacquiao fight. I would have been much more excited if he fought Errol Spence. For whatever reason, that fight got watched.
Right.
That said,
go ahead, sorry.
Boxing isn't dead. That's the
No, but when point. Is the rescheduled Wilder fight? Is that September? That's going to happen still, obviously, right?
I think that's October. I think they moved back to October.
All
I'm not exactly
COVID.
Positive when, but okay. That's going down, hopefully around Halloween.
Exciting, exciting. See, that I'll watch, but I won't watch what my brother and his boys watch every night. Like, oh, the Bob Smith versus this guy Lopez and
this guy Lopez.
I'm just saying, I didn't want to throw. What am I going to say? Jorge? Am I going to say Jose? What do you want me to say?
I don't know, Dave.
Saturday, October 9th, the boys will be fighting.
There you go. So early October, a fall brawl, have you. Hopefully they pitch it that way, because that's makes sense. But anyway, AJ, my guy.
I know what time it is.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is. And it's time to catch up on all of the MLB scores from yesterday, and then we'll take a break after that. We'll come back and do the 32 teams in 32 days. We're on day 15 already. We're almost halfway 16. Home.
No, 15, 15. I'm wrong.
Ooh, baby, wrong. Don't do that to me. I've been wrong on this number like 15 times already. You know what I mean? Like, so I know I'm right here. So go ahead, AJ. Hit it.
All right, so we're here with the Curtis Sells Houses Sports Update. For all your realty needs, make sure to hit up Curtis Counts. Let's get into the games from yesterday. The Mets are able to win extras against the Giants 6-2, and the Yankees sweep the Red Sox 5-2. We already talked about that. Let's not get further into it. The Cubs have a surprise victory against the Cincinnati Reds. They win that one 7-1. Indians and Twins aren't doing jack.
Okay.
The Rockies and the Padres have a high-scoring affair, but the Rockies come away victorious in that one, 7-5. The Angels, I don't know if they're still in the hunt, but Ohtani dominates on the mound. He also homers, and they win that game.
Wait a minute. Wait. Only because I'm uneducated, and maybe I should be educated in this. Ohtani pitches and hits on the same night?
Yeah.
He does that?
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it, but yeah, he does.
So he's technically, they bat their pitcher. He's the DH? That's what it is?
Bingo.
He's the pitcher in the field and the DH. Wow, that's impressive.
I don't know if that's what they call him, the DH. They just forfeit the DH.
But then bat their pitch. But it's not the rule. But anyway, I'm sorry. I just, because no, you said I mean, he dominated on the mound. And I'm like, all right, makes sense. But in my head, I'm like, well, wait, he went yard last night. Like, how did that pop? No, I'm wrong. Go ahead.
The man could do it all.
Yeah, he's going to win MVP.
The Atlanta Braves and the Marlins get into a shootout in Miami, but the Braves ultimately come away victorious. Freddie Freeman hits for the cycle, and they win that one 11-9. Very impressive, Freddie. The Rays get a nice victory over the Orioles. They win that one 8-4. The Brewers go into extras with the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're ultimately come away 6-4. The Mariners, who just keep winning games somehow. Not the most talented roster in the league, but they win this one yet again 3-1. Those Kansas City Royals cannot stop playing spoiler as they beat the Astros yet again 3-2. Astros kind of slumping. The White Sox.
Good time to do it.
Yes, sir. The White Sox were playing against the A's yesterday, and the White Sox came away with a nice close victory 3-2. The Diamondbacks upset the Phillies yesterday with a nice home victory.
Good for the Mets.
Yes, very good for the Mets. And then, oh, the moment we've all been waiting for, an absolute eyewear shutout coming from the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know what the guy's first name is, but White gets the win on the mound, 9-0. That is your AJ Sports Update.
All right, AJ, good stuff on that one. A nice little docket of baseball last night. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to show you some merch that we're selling for these CHOP athletes, which, again, it amazes me how every day somebody else's shirt gets sold. It's like they keep trickling in. They have some really great supporters out there. I'm really, really excited about where this can go, and we're not even in football season, so that's the biggest part. A lot of these football players haven't even taken a snap or played a down yet in their year of either be their extra year of eligibility or their year in general, and they're getting phenomenal support. I love to see it. Love to see it. So let's take a break. Let's pay some bills, and when we come back, the 2021 Las Vegas Raiders.
Before we get into it, I'm sorry, Carl Gucci. You'll know why.
Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is four pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest three pepper blend featuring fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle, and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com. All right. Well, perfect timing as Gooch ends his what he was telling me off air. It's funny. I got a text from Jimmy before, and he texted us a exhibition schedule for the 2022 New York Yankees. And he was like, who cares about this? And I responded, who reads the newspaper? Because it was definitely a picture.
I read the headlines at the bagel store because
that's exactly what I do.
That's all I do.
I turn the daily news over because it's a hack.
Bag that guy is. And then I order my bagel and I walk out.
He jumped off of what? And then you're like, oh, can I get a cream cheese bagel? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we're back from break. Obviously, thank you to our sponsor for coming on or advertiser for coming on. But now it is time for what I am now labeling. Okay, this is a new revolutionary thing here at Chop Sports on the Chop Sports podcast.
Give me time to look up the Raiders. It is right.
You can do that. The NFL 32 teams in 32 days sponsored by Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Craig and Johnny. Now, I have not met Craig yet. I heard he's a phenomenal, phenomenal softball player. He played for Jimmy's team. But I have met Johnny, as I've been told a million times. She's been with us for quite some time. She's a massive supporter for Chop Sports. Now it's time to give back, ladies and gentlemen. Go see Janine at Absolute Eyewear. Listen, I'm looking right at you. I can't see. I can't. I'm just ignorant. I don't bring my glasses in when I should. I watch a computer screen all day. I can't see. AJ has no shame. He's got no shame. He's rocking glasses. You know, I don't have that. I can't not look cool. And I am looking cool in front of nobody because when we're off air, it's just us. So I should be wearing my glasses. However, I need new ones. Guess where I'm going? I'm going right to Absolute Eyewear in New Jersey. I suggest you go to them. Janine has been such a great support. She's even showed up to a softball game.
I just ripped my shirt.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about your shirt. But get over there right now. Why? They're right on Main Street. And, of course, Woodbridge, the fine town of Woodbridge, is doing massive construction right around where Janine's place is. So you're going to want to get there sooner than later because eventually it'll just be a pain in the ass. So get over there. And guess what? Here's the thing. They have all sorts of glasses. I can't do Jimmy's thing. I can't. My bad. Whatever. He does this Bob Shepard thing. I'm not as good as him with that. But I will say, if you go to see Janine and Craig over at Absolute Eyewear, and you say the phrase Chop Sports, or you bring a picture of Jimmy Palumbo in, you'll get $100 off. That's
we
right.
You should go into competition now and see who gets more.
Oh, I mean, don't tease me with a good time. I'm going to do that.
Who gets more mentions, Chop Sports or the Jimmy Palumbo show?
Chop Sports will dominate. And then I'm telling you right now, that's what's going to happen. So go see Janine. $100 off a complete pair. Frames, lenses, you name it. They have all the best brands. I'm going over there probably before the season starts. Because if you're going to want to watch football, especially here at the studio, you're going to want to do it and be able to see. So I'm going to definitely go re-up my prescription. Go check out Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey. They're bringing you the 2021 Las Vegas Raiders, okay? Now, this Raiders team finished second last year in the AFC West. They're a capable team to make some noise again this year. I know Tommy D is a Raiders fan, one of my best friends, Mark. We just talked about the Raiders.
Shout out to Joey D. I know he listens every day.
He's a Raiders fan? Okay. I didn't know that. I don't think I've ever seen him wear. Maybe, you know what? I'm wrong.
He has a Raider tattoo.
Oh, well, that's the official stamp. You're officially the biggest fan. I actually, on the way down here, talking some fantasy football strategy with my partner over at the Joe Angelo's Football League, Fantasy Football League. We were talking about some of the Raiders and what they just did just yesterday to the Los Angeles Chargers in a scrimmage. I'm sorry, Los Angeles Rams. Sorry. What I was told is that Jalen Ramsey was getting torched by one Hunter Renfro like six times. What, you don't take any stock into that at all?
If Jalen Ramsey,
he can't cover the slot guy,
covered Hunter Renfro in an NFL game, he wouldn't have one target, let alone catch.
Oof.
Another note I want to make to that is Bryce Hall, the Jets corner. There was a tape of him covering Devontae Adams really well in the play. In the regular season, Devontae Adams would hop on that boy's shoulders and fucking sit on him and catch the ball for a touchdown.
All right. Anyway, that's Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro. He's a nice little player.
He's getting the Lindor treatment. Go ahead.
Let's just be real. Jalen Ramsey is a top three corner, and you can make the case that he's first. I'm not going to make
you're not
case.
Because I already saw the new shirt that you're developing. I get it. But anyway, it starts at the top. How much more does Derek Carr have to offer this Las Vegas Raiders team? Now, there was rumors that it was over for him, and there was a potential Aaron Rodgers situation where Aaron Rodgers was talked about being dished around. One of the destinations might have been the Las Vegas Raiders, which means the Raiders would have given up on Derek Carr. I feel like we've heard this too many times. You know, we've heard that the Raiders are moving on, and then it feels like they settle for Derek Carr's next year. Do you buy that?
No. I think that the Raiders have been all in on Derek Carr since day one. They gave him the money. He's their quarterback, and what happens is the media takes hold of things and they run with it. And now, as the Raiders front office, I'm obligated to explore all options to improve the team. That includes the quarterback position. If you have an opportunity to get a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers, you do it.
Right.
Sorry, Derek Carr, you're not that good. Not anymore. No. He's not. He's as good as he's ever been. Derek Carr, if you look at his numbers, they're actually really good over the last 5 years. He's like one of five quarterbacks that have done certain things, meaning
correct.
He's very consistent. He's tough. I know he doesn't come off that way, but he's played through serious back injuries. I'm just saying. Yeah. He doesn't come off like he's a tough guy. But Derek Carr, he's a solid NFL quarterback. But if you have an opportunity to potentially land an Aaron Rodgers, you
pull that
kick
trigger.
The tires on that.
Yeah, you do.
No question.
Not saying that it was ever a thing, but breathing down his neck per se is a Marcus Mariota?
No.
No. You don't think there's any shot at all that there's any kind of conflict whatsoever?
No.
No. Okay, so Derek Carr
is a solid backup, and if something did happen to Derek Carr, Mariota might play himself into another contract to get a shot on another team, but mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota is who he is. He's a potential career backup at this point, and Derek Carr is a potential middle-of-the-road quarterback at this point. He's not really going to blow you. He's not going to win an MVP, but Derek Carr, with the right pieces around him, can win football games. No question about it.
I agree. Behind Marcus Mariota is the greatest third-string quarterback of all time, Nathan Peterman. So, and I tell you what, man, knock on wood if you're with me, Nathan Peterman. I know Chucky down there over in Las Vegas likes Nathan Peterman. That's why he exists. The running backs, that room has upgraded as well. Yeah. What happened? Something... Yeah. Yeah. So Josh Jacobs, obviously, coming off a subpar year. Nothing to sneeze at, but also nothing to say like, oh, he had a great year.
I think that he had a really good year. It's just that when you're talking about in terms of the way people view the optics in football, mm-hmm. He's a running back. So how was he for your fantasy draft?
That's unfortunate.
If you draft
a
guy as high as Jacobs was drafted last year, you expected more. So anybody that had any affinity towards him.
He did have 1,000 yards, 1,065 with 12 touchdowns, but he also carried the rock 273 times. That's a lot. Like that's a heavy workload. So now it gets lightened.
Jacobs did turn it up late in the year.
He did. I owned him.
But
so
he wasn't what people thought he was going to be.
Correct. Now the lightened load will occur this year in 2021. They go out and sign Kenyon Drake. Drake was obviously one of the better backs, a comeback story, have you, for the Arizona Cardinals, and now he signs on with the Raiders. How far do you think Drake can – what contributions do you think Drake can make to this running game?
Third down back. He's going to be lining him up in the slot sometimes because the Raiders receiving corps, there's a lot of question marks, so I think Drake will probably have a lot of catches on third downs. I know Renfro is their third down guy. That seems to be where the Raiders are going to do their best work this year. Is going to be with Waller down the seam, and then Drake out of the backfield, Renfro in the slot. I know Ruggs is a blow the top off type of receiver, but I need to see more consistency out of him. Obviously, 1 year isn't enough. It's not a big body of work, no. But I'm not sold on the Henry Ruggs. Go ahead.
What do you got?
Potential sleeper who I like on the Raiders, Brian Edwards.
We'll talk about the receivers in a second because this, when I look at the Las Vegas Raiders receivers. There might not be a deeper receiving core than the Raiders right now. Well, deeper when I say good, serviceable receivers. Like, they're all good.
We're going to get to the Packers receivers later on.
Oh, Christ.
Do you mean good, serviceable wide receiver threes? Because that's here, all I'm
listen
seeing.
Here. Henry Ruggs, obviously coming in. You got to see more. Sample size is not big. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Brian Edwards, who's, again, touted as probably the next big thing in Las Vegas, right? Hunter Renfro is your slot guy. Behind all these guys, John Brown, who's taken the top off of a lot of defenses, okay? That's happened. That's a thing.
One-trick pony.
Fine. Zay Jones, same. Pretty good receiver.
He's like 5'8".
But he's still good. He's a good receiver. And then behind
am I getting that guy wrong?
Zay Jones?
Tiny, right?
I don't think he's 5'8".
He's 6'2".
Oh, so he's huge. Never mind.
No. As a receiver, he's 6'2". But he had only 14 catches, 154 yards last year, and a touchdown. But, guys, there's a guy on this roster that we're like, how did he get here? Willie Snead. He's good, too.
I think you're overrating each of these guys.
Yeah.
I'm only saying they're good. I'm not saying they're elite wide receivers.
They're not deep because they don't have that one guy. So right there, because everyone's asked to do a little bit more, they don't have one guy that could take the pressure off the entire court. Right. And when you're playing a team like, we'll say, the Rams,
mm-hmm.
and you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey out there, he's shutting down whoever their best player is. Like, he'll probably cover Waller. He'll probably follow him around, honestly, right? I just don't see them being deep at all. I think the Raiders are going to struggle at that position more so than anything. And offensive line, which we'll get to.
And they have a top 10, top 5 tight end in Darren Waller, who you just said. And
top
I think
three.
Top right. Like, he's literally like, what a turnaround for this kid. You know, like, he was almost forgotten, you know, and all of a sudden he turns it up, resurges his entire career, and he's building a rapport with Derek Carr. So I think this offense... The offensive line needs some work. Richie Incognito, one of my favorite players in the league, for
I never thought
reasons
I'd say
I don't have
this,
to talk about.
But losing Aguilar is actually like a big thing
it
for the
Raiders. It is a big thing, yeah.
Which is why I do think Bryan Edwards can kind of take over that role a little bit, but you need to see more out of him too. They have three guys that are going into year two.
Yeah. So it's a young team. The offensive line definitely took some hits. You know, some guys dropped off the face of the earth. Some guys retired. Richie Incognito sticks around. He's left guard, but he can't play all the positions. So the Raiders' offensive line is not what it used to be. They've digressed a little bit. I want to say maybe a lot of it. So maybe Derek Carr is on the run for most of his passes.
The line is young. They can be good. They don't know, but it's very unestablished right now. It's just a lot of
what do you got?
Did Ronnie Hudson retire?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the guys are just retiring and just.
I don't know. You're reading it. Did he?
I'm just seeing none of him on the depth chart. So I'm like,
so maybe
what
he
the
didn't
hell?
Retire.
Maybe I Cardinals. Maybe
I just
don't know.
Hate when I don't know.
Right.
And then I act like I knew because I was like, yeah, I don't fucking know if Ronnie Hudson retired. I have no clue.
Anyway, we shifted on over to the defensive side of the ball, in which, you know, they do get Yannick, which is all world. You know, he's definitely a great pass rusher. Cleveland Farrell was taken, I think, sixth or seventh overall.
Their defense sucks, dude.
I was trying not to say it like that.
Bad. They're coming into the year with very low expectations, so anything that you get out of them is a bonus.
I mean, they have some good players. Like, I like Jonathan Abram. I like him as a safety. I like guys like Casey Hayward Jr. You know, like, those are good players, but yeah, I don't know if they could put it all together in the secondary. I'm not sure. They do take Morig, who I wanted as a Cowboy. That is the first, ladies and gentlemen, first Cowboys reference of this entire podcast. You don't have to.
That's not true.
It's definitely true.
No, it's not.
When did I mention the Cowboys?
I mean, I kind of brought up the Hard Knocks thing when I said I chose violence over,
I mean,
over Hard Knocks.
I mean, he didn't bring it up.
I didn't bring it up.
And I'm proud.
I'm very proud. All right, it's like it's a recovering good addict job or something like that. Like, hi, my name is Dave Sturcio, and I've been a Cowboys fan
and
for 35
Dave's like,
years.
I don't need to talk Cowboys. We'll do the Yankees today.
Gotta get my fix. But anyway, you got any more of those Yankee takes? But anyway, the Raiders defense isn't really something to get excited about. But I did like Morig out of, you know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, USC? TCU. Sorry, I had the wrong words. But I was focusing in on him on the Cowboys draft because, again, Cowboys have needed a safety forever. But anyway.
Still need one.
All right, we'll see. Remains to be seen. Their kicker, however, is really good. Daniel Carlson. So I need you to do me a favor, AJ, and bring up the Raiders schedule for me because we are going to dive in and see where they're going to finish. In this division, they get the 20-7 victory over the Seattle Seahawks here in the preseason that nobody cares about. But their schedule is non-favorable until about October. They have a rough September. They start with Baltimore, then they got to go at Pittsburgh, then Miami's nothing to sneeze at this year, and then, of course, the Los Angeles Chargers. That's their first four. Do they win any of those games, Gooch? Honestly?
I don't know. I think maybe you got to sneak one in there.
So, all right. So even if they give them one, fine.
Given the benefit of the doubt, I don't see them going 0-4.
Okay. So they'll get a win within the first 4 weeks. And then you got Chicago, Denver, Philadelphia. They can win two of those at the very least, I think. So that would give them three going into their bye. So 3-5 at their bye. Okay. Did you pull up the win-loss total?
Yeah, it's eight.
Eight win. Oh, okay. This one's an interesting one. All right, because eight wins is relatively low for a team that finished, I believe, 8-8 last year.
Yep.
So they're basically saying Vegas is saying you've done nothing to improve your team. You're going to finish right where you were last year. Yeah. That's what Vegas is saying. Not them, Vegas. Vegas betting Vegas. It's a tongue twister there. But then after bye, they go to New York, in which I think the Giants could probably win that game, to be honest with you. The Giants are going to be one of those teams that are just a little tricky to figure out. Then to Kansas City, Cincinnati. So I'll give them the Cincinnati game. They go at Dallas on Thursday Night Football. Actually, you know what? I think that's Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's Thanksgiving. Dallas typically plays poor on Thanksgiving, but I will give Dallas the win. They probably maybe beat Washington. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know, man. Where are you finding these wins? Denver and then Indy, but I don't know what their situation will be like at that time. Oh, boy. This is rough. This is going to be a rough season for the Raiders. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll be the generous one and give them six wins. I'm giving them a 6-11 record. they're going to fall two games behind what they did last week. Last year, generous.
I thought you were going to go ahead and say like 7 or 8 or something. I'm going 5.
5-12.
Yeah,
Las Vegas.
Raiders. I'm with you, AJ. I'm going to go 5, and that's honestly giving my boy Joey D an extra win. Yeah. Because I'm not so sure. Am I bad, Joey D? I'm just calling like I see it. The Raiders.
So you think the Raiders are in for a heap of trouble?
Yeah, it's tough.
The Raiders, and can finish the Raiders, in the basement, according to the other predictions.
And it's funny because when people judge NFL drafts, I remember last year after the NFL draft, everybody was very high on the Raiders draft, and it really hasn't materialized for them.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Some of these things take time.
A lot of offense on last year in last year's draft, and I don't see the fruits of their or the I don't think
the
they're
fruits of their labor.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it fruits of their labor because that's definitely wrong. I don't know that they're going to reap the rewards of drafting all those receivers.
Okay, all right. Well, look, the Raiders have themselves a tough schedule. They're led by Derek Carr, and we'll find out if Carr's got that one last hero moment in him or hero season in him to really, you know, where do you find Carr in the realm of fantasy football? Because you feel like the Raiders' defense is so bad, they're going to be chucking that ball a lot.
In the realm of fantasy football, you find...
I'm asking the fantasy guy, by the way, which you can go subscribe to that podcast.
I think you find him in the outside of the top 20, right?
I'm talking low-end number 2 spot start guy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought about taking him in the last round of a draft that goes about 17
the
rounds.
The logic isn't horrible, right? But I think there's quarterbacks who have better weapons
positions. Here's what I'm doing with Derek Carr, right? If I miss out on... my good quarterback, my good backup quarterback in the 15th round, I'm taking the best available guy, and I'm ranking them there. It doesn't matter. I don't have any thoughts on Derek Carr in fantasy football. He's definitely not a guy that you're going to keep rostered all year unless you're one of those guys that set your fucking roster and don't touch it. Like, Derek Carr's my backup, and then you don't actually try and improve the back end. Then you might have him all year, but Derek Carr is the guy that gets dropped and added.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Situationally.
He's like Giovanni Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard.
The drops in the ads.
I stay so far away from guys like that. Even when I'm glad.
Derek Carr you're talking about?
No, I'm saying Giovanni Bernard. Guys that are their role regardless, it doesn't matter. Look at what happened with Mixon. Giovanni Bernard was never a guy that you could add and be like, you know what? I got it. He's a starter now. He just keeps his role and they put somebody else in that first and second down role. I say this all the time.
That's a very good point.
In the NFL now, what's
wrong?
He won me my fantasy league.
Because if you had a shit team, fantasy league.
I had a lot of injuries on the team.
So
I had
you to won your fantasy
him.
League with Giovanni Bernard.
In the lineup, yeah. A great team around
So I wouldn't say
Giovanni
he won
Bernard.
You shit. He just was on the roster of a team that won.
Well,
no,
he was the highest scoring player, I think.
Oh, there
week.
It
he had
is.
Like a 32-point
so
game.
So then, yes, you did win him his fantasy football.
So he had a 32-point week. He probably had about... 1/3 of his entire season's worth of points in that week.
Probably.
I guarantee you.
More than likely.
That's not a guy that you're counting on in fantasy.
No,
ever.
Absolutely.
It's not a guy that I'm adding. I'm hoping that somebody else does ahead of me in the waiver priority, and then I'm like, thank God, because I didn't want him anyway. That's the way I go about it. Usually, I've had this conversation with you. I don't know if it was on air or not, but when you have a running back that goes down, everybody's so quick to add their
the number two.
Backup.
The
number
two on the depth
when
chart.
Their number two is really just a third
down
back.
We did have that
back,
conversation. It was like a Gus Edwards thing.
When their number two is just a third down back, they're typically going to keep the guy that he's used to in
right.
that role.
Right,
like
right.
They don't want to change two roles.
Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
They'll bring somebody else in to do the heavy lifting and then keep the third down back as a third down back.
Okay. And that is Dr. Chris Gucci. He is the doctor of fantasy football, where we also have the fantasy
guy. I know, he's
guy.
The fantasy guy, but I'm the fantasy god.
Oh.
The fantasy warlord.
And there it is, a warlord. There is a shirt available.
Did you just spit on that?
I said,
I didn't mean you actually physically spit on something. I thought you meant, like, spit on my what I just said.
I can't wait.
Oh, no, you did do I that. Do
Are
that.
You guys in the same league?
No.
Damn. No. Maybe you'll meet in the – well, you can't meet technically, but maybe – maybe it'll be a finals matchup where you guys will be in the final four, and it'll technically be.
I'll play against AJ
score.
In some type of DFS weekly. We'll do that. That's
fun.
Something that we're going
like
to talk
that.
About.
Definitely.
We'll start throwing up pools every week and having the first 10 people enter, and we all just get our own little DFS thing. And hopefully, at one point or another, we could do the hater fantasy football.
I know what we haven't really mentioned it. What are you talking about? What is hater fantasy football, Chris?
We'll get to this
later.
We'll
talk about it later because that could be a cool thing.
I wanted to talk to you about that. We'll talk after.
Of course,
after
we'll talk about that. So anyway, that is the wrap up for the Las Vegas Raiders of 2021. Doesn't look good. The forecast does not look good. Looks like thunderstorms all year for the Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe a couple rays of sunshine here and there, but it might be tough sledding, man. And I'm sorry to Mark and Tommy D and Joey D and all these Ds. And I'm just sorry that the Raiders are probably going to have some tough sledding. So start looking at the draft for next year, Las Vegas Raiders. So this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. We want to thank you guys for joining us here on the live stream. Listen, for those of you who join and never get off, bravo, I love you to death. Probably like Scoop and like, I don't know, maybe Ashley. I haven't seen any comments from Ashley.
Ashley's so, moving today.
Okay, so then that's definitely one of the one of those three are not Ashley. And I don't say thank God, but like it's good to have somebody else stick around for the entire thing. So thank you guys for sticking around for that. Thank you for downloading the podcast. We are making big, big moves starting football, starting with the football season. It's going to be incredible here on Sundays. We're actually talking with Kyle today, Kyle Kerms, the Sauce Network. We'll be talking to him today as we get on with him with a show that he wants to do where he's going to feature me
the
and you.
Over-under so, win totals.
We'll yeah, so it. Basically what we've been doing. So we have actually a leg up on that conversation.
Oh, this is going to be interesting when I go back, when I do the show today and I don't know what I had said about the previous okay. teams, and then I do them today and be like, well, which is it, Chris? Are they going to win 10 games or 7?
Right? You really think there's going to be like a three-game like discrepancy?
I wouldn't say three-game, but, you know, like – to be fair, early going in the 32 teams in 32 days.
2 weeks ago.
And I know still, I said I want to kind of go through everything. And right. for the NFC, we'll I'll come again. A little more prepared. But, yeah, I got to rethink it and look at some things. Okay. And, like, if we're really being real.
We got to go week by week. That's what you got to do. You got to figure out who's winning every week.
Because if we'll the wins that. And losses don't add up.
No, they don't. Then they never do. When you do these, like, win-loss totals, they never add up. Like, well, where's the 10 wins coming from? When that means somebody has to lose 10 games over here and blah, blah, blah. Like, we're not adding them up. We'll add them up later. We'll add them up right before the season. We will give you the greatest predictions chart. It'll be all three of us. We'll set an hour aside one day, go week by week, right before the season starts, and get actual predictions going forward.
I'm
is that okay
make
with you, Scoop?
Hell of a graphic for you guys.
Yeah, that's gonna be some work. So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course AJ from the couch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on a Feel Good Friday. And like I said, stay tuned for the shenanigans. Maybe we head down to Bar A. Maybe we don't. I don't want to promote it as an event, but chances are. I personally would like to go, but we'll see.
Chances are I personally would not.